Well, I'd like to welcome again those who are watching online. And sweetheart, I apologize. I left my clicker on the front row. Can you bring that up? My lovely assistant. Oh, what would I do? She saves my bacon all the time. Thank you, Rochelle. Well, we're in a study from 1 Corinthians 13 on love. And I know that over the weeks, you get tired of me just reminding you of what we've already said. But if you're like me, you have to hear it over and over and over again. In fact, Todd, there's a rule called the rule of 70. And we used to have this, Doc, in our staff meeting. If we forgot the name of a church member as a pastoral staff, you know, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, my sheep, I know them by name. If we forgot a name of a church member, we had the pastor repeat that name 70 times in staff meeting. Because the rule of 70 says when you hear something and say something 70 times, you don't forget it. Okay? Well, we're not there yet, but we're getting close. Love is the mark of a true believer. We've said that maybe 30 times so far. You can say you're a Christian until you're blue in the face, but it's how you relate to people that gives evidence that you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ. Love is a verb of action, not an adjective of emotion. All that means is, contrary to what the world teaches, love is not this warm, fuzzy feeling you get up your spine when you're in the presence of someone you love. Now, that may happen, or it may not. The truth of the matter is, there's times in your marriage when you don't have warm fuzzies for your spouse. Nobody said amen to that. But that is true. You don't have warm fuzzies. Well, to God, that makes no difference because he calls me to love Rochelle no matter how I feel that day. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons that you and I can even love our enemies. You don't feel good when an enemy does what an enemy does, but you can still love your enemy as Christ tells us to do. And we have seen, and we'll look at it even more closely in the weeks to come, when you make a commitment to live life and love people the way Jesus loves you, love never fails. You'll never mess up when you choose to love people the way Jesus loves you. And by the way, those aren't just words. Love people the way Jesus loves you. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, you can put your name where love is, and you can put Jesus' name where the word love is, because this chapter is a description of how Jesus loves you. And when you are full of his love, that love overflows to the people around you. Now, today, we come to verse 7. Of 1 Corinthians 13. And there are four simple phrases in this verse that we'll be looking at over the next month. The first phrase is love bears all things. Jesus bears all things. Put your name there. If you really love someone, Wade bears all things. Now, the next three phrases are, love believes all things, love hopes all things, love endures all things. And I think there's a progression here. I think you can't believe someone you love. You can't believe them when they tell you something unless you bear all things with them. You can't hope until you believe and bear, and you can't endure until you hope, believe, and bear. There's a progression. So the first phrase, love bears all things. What does that mean? Well, typically when you hear the word bear in context of a verb, not a noun, you think of bucking up, bearing up, putting a burden on your back and standing strong and bearing the faults of others. It's typically what you think when you hear the English word bear. But let me show you something. This English word bear is translated in some translations as endure, but all translations in English translate the original Greek word that Paul used, and it's the word stego, which means to cover or to hide. To bear all things means I cover the faults and wrongs of the one I love. Now, if you're really paying attention and you've been here during this series, you will know that this Greek word stego, which means to cover or to hide, translated bear, sounds just the opposite of what we read in verse 6 last week. The end of verse 6 says, love rejoices in the truth. And I showed you that that word truth is a negative word with the little preposition of the vowel a before it, which means love rejoices in not hiding, not covering. That's what verse 6 says. Now I'm telling you, verse 7 says, love covers all things. That doesn't make any sense, does it? How can you rejoice in not covering, verse 6, and then bear all things, hide, cover all things? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, so I'm going to give you an answer. Here's a key Christian principle that we can never forget. A Christian rejoices in transparency about his or her own faults, but is committed to cover the faults of others. That is remarkable. By the way, I really believe if you looked at your social media, you would see that the world has no concept of this. On social media, it seems as if we're all interested in pointing out the faults and the wrongs and the sins and the problems in others and covering our own. But if you really practiced love, you would cover and hide the wrongs and faults and sins of others and be transparent and open and honest about your own. Now, I know that some of you have been victims of a crime. Some of you have been victims of abuse, a crime of sexual abuse. The first thing that you're thinking in your mind is this. Those of you watching on Wartburg Watch out of North Carolina, you know I've been an advocate for women who have been the victims of abuse. And you're probably thinking to yourself, now wait, come on now. You're going to give criminals a pass. No, I'm not. Listen to what I'm saying. When it comes to the law, and there's a violation of law, for the good of society, for the good of others, you always reveal the truth so that those who come behind you may not be the same victims of the crime that you've endured. But may I propose to you that if there are only two people on the face of the earth, you would cover the sins and hide the sins against you. You see, you're loving society when you uncover that which has been hidden, which is a crime, But let's just face it, everybody in this room, not everybody, but the vast majority of people in this room are not in a relationship where crimes are being committed. Okay? What we're talking about are hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we used to really thought they were cute, and now they become irritating. And so irritations begin to develop, and it's as if we are constantly pointing out the problems in others and covering our own. Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, says this: if you really love someone, you will cover a multitude of sins. And by the way, that is exactly what Jesus has done for you. And so the application for this is simply twofold. First, as a Christian, I am free to discuss the faults of another person or people with them, but not about them to others. In other words, let's say that you're going through some marital issues, and there are some problems that your spouse has that need to be discussed. Maybe it is deception. Maybe it is lying to you. Maybe it's taking money without you knowing, and so on. You have every right as a Christian to talk to your spouse about that issue. But you have no right to speak of that fault or issue with other people, except for possibly a counselor, as you're seeking together to work on these issues. But usually and typically, when marriages go south, it's because there are problems in the marriage, and the wife will talk about her husband to all of her girlfriends, and the husband will talk about his wife to all of his boyfriends in the locker room. That is not love. That is not stego. That is not bearing up another person, covering up their faults. By the way, let's go outside of marriage. Let's talk about relationship with friends. To bear all things with another Christian, that means you take ownership of what you've done wrong, but you cover and you hide what the other person has done wrong. By the way, you'll know this is intuitively the right thing to do by just thinking about your favorite movie. Have you ever noticed that in movies, the hero or the heroine are people who are silent when they are being wronged and very open and transparent and humble about their own faults? You gravitate toward people like that, and there's a good reason. That's character. And as a Christian, you allow the Holy Spirit to develop your character, and you cover the faults of those you love, but you're very open and transparent and rejoice in the truth of your own faults. A second little sidelight to this idea of stego, bearing all things, is that you do everything within your power to protect the honor and dignity of the one you love. In other words, if you're in a place, maybe you're having coffee at a coffee shop, and you're with friends, and the subject comes up, hey, did you hear about, and the name is mentioned, and it's a fellow Christian that you know, maybe not at this church, but another church. And then the Twitter starts. The gossip begins. Okay. To love that person who's being gossiped about means you change the conversation. You don't listen. You don't participate. And when there's an attempt to come back, you say, guys, just a moment here. Can we not talk about something else? I don't know the circumstances. I don't know that any of us do. We're not part of the solution or the problem. Let's just not discuss this. That's stego. Do you realize how wonderful this would be if churches practiced this, if Christians practiced this? So that's the second part of it. By the way, we do this at Emmanuel. Now, we're not always perfect, but I promise you it's a standard that we hold to. For example, if anyone comes to any of the pastors, if anyone comes to me and says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what's going on in his life? Do you know that he's having an affair? You know what we do? Immediate. Whoa, stop. Stop. No more. We are not discussing this person until you answer one question. Have you gone to this person and talked with him about what you're telling me? And if the answer is no, we just simply respond, we can't talk about this. That's stego. Love bears all things. You say, well, pastor, you're the pastor. You should know about these types of things. No. No. My job is to protect the honor and the dignity of others. Now get this. Not my own. And this is where I failed 15 years ago. When I was brought up for censure at the International Mission Board, some of you may not know the story. It was a big deal to me. It was national. The only trustee of any major institution of the Southern Baptist Convention to ever be recommended for removal from a board. And then I was censured, all because I was writing about principles that I felt like we were violating based on Scripture. And you say, what kind of principle? Well, they changed the application for people becoming a missionary to the first question asked was, do you speak in tongues when you pray in private? The first question used to be, tell us about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus? That was the first one. They moved that down and put the first question, tongues. So I asked them this question. I said, what happens if they say no? Well, then they go on through the process, okay? What happens if they say yes? Immediate disqualification. I said, really? I said, well, let me propose something to you. How do you feel about the fact that someone could lie to you? They pray in tongues in private, but they say, oh no. Then they go on through the process, and they're appointed as missionaries. You have just appointed a liar. But what if someone is honest and says, yes, I pray in tongues in private when I pray, and you disqualify them? You've appointed a liar and disqualified a truth teller. Well, it was as quiet in the room as it is right now. And they did not like that. So, but here's my problem. When they came after me and censured me for being a troublemaker, for, all kinds of gossip and slander, I think is what they said. I was writing on a blog and they said, you know, that's like internet porn. Blogs were brand new. And I was very careful not to mention any names. Just give principles like I've done with you. Here's my mistake. No one came to my defense except for one person, Rick Thompson, Council Road Baptist Church, who served on the board with me. Everyone else was quiet. And so I felt like I needed to defend myself. And I was wrong. I look back at my writings and what I said and everything that I wrote about myself that showed very, very poor character. Here's the deal. I'm older now. And I'm wiser. To love someone means you defend the honor and integrity of another. And you let yours go. You say, I can't do that. By the way, if you do that, you'll be crushed. In this world today, you'll be crushed. That's what our former president used to say. You can't let those things go. Attack on character, you got to punch them back in the nose. I'm going to propose to you that that's the world's way. But when you practice love, all kinds of things will occur that surprise and shock you because love never fails. If you think you can't do it, I'm going to show you how you can in just a moment. The most loving thing that you could do for your spouse is defend his or her honor. That's the most loving thing that you can do. Defending one's own honor, like I did, is selfish. But defending a loved one's honor, man, that's Christian. That's stego. By the way, Aristotle, the great Greek writer, used this word stego in his writings to describe pitch on a ship that kept it airtight from water damaging the ship. He also used it of a leopard skin that kept a person warm. When you stego somebody, you protect them, you cover, you hide. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you're here this morning and you're talking to all of your girlfriends or boyfriends about your spouse, and you're like, wait, you don't understand the person I'm living with. Please, I'm not judging you, but I want you to hear me. You are not loving your spouse. No concern for what others think of another person is a sign there is no love. And typically what happens is when you're not loving somebody, you want everybody to think badly of another person in order that they might think better of you. Christ says, let them think terrible of you, and you protect the honor of the one you love. Now I want to close by showing you a final thing. To bear all things, to stego someone else, means that I endure the sufferings caused by the sin of the one that I love. This is so hard. This is so hard. Let me show you something about how it can be done. When you're in a relationship, and things are being done and it hurts. I want to ask you a question. How much hurt did you cause Christ? Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He had you on his mind. What was he doing? Well, the next day he was going to the cross. And he was bearing your sins. That's such a religious phrase. Every time you ever lied, every time you ever stole, every time you were ever jealous, every time you were selfish, that's what Jesus bore on the cross. And then what did he do? Well, he went to the grave, conquering the consequences of your sin, which is death. He rose on the third day. And then what did he do? He stegoed you. He erased your sins. He covered them. He hid them as far as the east is from the west. They were on the scapegoat, which was lost in the desert. How much pain did you cause him? Do you remember what he prayed in the garden? Father, please take this cup from me. What cup? The cup of bearing your sin. Nevertheless, your will be done. And as he prayed, drops of blood came down his face. If you're here this morning, you may be the one person I'm speaking to. Listen to me carefully. Love will never fail you. Agape love from God fills our hearts and overflows to love for others. You see, if you're thinking about leaving your husband, If you're thinking about running away from your wife, if you're saying to yourself, I can't do this, go ahead and be transparent and honest about it and tell people why. It's all you. You've lost connection with the love of Christ.
Just be honest and transparent about it.
And protect the honor and the dignity of the one you love. You see, the proof of love is its capacity to suffer for the object of its affection. You know, I'm not asking you to accept what I say because I say it. Be like the Bereans. Search it out for yourself. And if I'm wrong, show me from Scripture where I'm wrong. But I promise you, if you're knocking your head against the wall and you feel trapped and you're trying to figure out how to get out, maybe you're not thinking right. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. I'll show you next Sunday that if you've ever gotten into the habit of saying to the person you love, when they say something to you, no, you don't. No, you don't. I know you said, no, you don't. You're not telling the truth. You know what it is? You've never crossed the footpath of hiding and covering your loved one's sins because you've never become convinced that Christ has done the same for you. Connect here, let it overflow here. Bear all things. Then you can believe all things. Then you can hope all things. Then you can endure all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is truly an encouragement to each of us. Lord, I can just tell by the still posture of those in the room that you have spoken. My prayer today is that what has been said and what has been heard might be applied, and we will be people who bear all things, who believe all things, who hope all things, who endure all things in those we love. Make it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're here and you have a question about small group, about becoming a member of Emmanuel, again, Rochelle and I will be down front if you want to come this way. Others will be at the back. We've got hosts for our community groups who can visit with you. Also, the pastor search committee will be in the back giving you these little prayer cards. And then go by Paradise Gardens and see these guys. See Kit and see how you can help. Have a great week. See you either Wednesday night and next Sunday. Lunch on us. Don't forget. God bless you. You're dismissed.